The scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 31. Matthew chapter 15, verses 29 through 31, if you'd like to read along with me. I'll be reading from the New American Standard. Departing from there, Jesus went along by the Sea of Galilee, and having gone up on the mountain, he was sitting there. And large crowds came to him, bringing with them those who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at his feet, and he healed them. So the crowd marveled as they saw the mute speaking, the crippled restored, and the lame walking, and the blind seeing, and they glorified the God of Israel.
Thank you, Brother Phil, for that reading from the Gospel of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 15, 29 through 31, where the Bible student sees an expression about laying people down at his feet. It describes those people as having severe physical needs and that Jesus healed them every one. Giving glory to the God of Israel was the result in the lives of those people. What a great blessing those people received from the hands of the Lord. And what a great blessing is in store for us too as we assemble together as God's people and worship Him in spirit and in truth as we're doing this morning. To fall at the feet of someone, men or angels or whoever it might be, is an expression that's familiar to the Bible student. It is a symbol or a sign of petitioning someone that is worthy. Someone that is worthy of veneration and is giving honor to someone if you fall at their feet. It is to subject oneself to the disposal of another person, to render homage to that person, to worship that person. There are several instances of this in the pages of the Bible, particularly in the New Testament. When Peter came to Cornelius' house in Acts chapter 10, Peter entered and Cornelius met him and fell at his feet and worshiped him. The response, of course, from Peter was, "Stand up, I too am just a man." When John received the revelation from an angel in Revelation chapter 19, "I fell at his feet to worship him," John wrote. The reply to that was, "Do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God." But to fall at the feet of Jesus is something that is entirely appropriate for anyone to do. In Luke 5, verses 8 and 9, an occasion where the Lord called some of His disciples to leave their normal activities of work and to follow Him, to learn from Him, that they might be able to help in bringing the kingdom to exist among men. When He called His disciples, when Simon Peter saw something that the Lord did, it's the great drought of fishes, the nets so full of fishes that two boats of theirs struggled to bring in the catch. Simon Peter saw that and fell down at Jesus' feet, the record says, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. After the crucifixion in Matthew chapter 28, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave in verse 5, and an angel of the Lord in verse 2 commanded the women, "Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead," in verse 7. And they left the tomb to report it to his disciples in verse 8. And here's what verse 9 says, "And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him." During Jesus' life on earth, we find many people at his feet, worshiping, learning, receiving healing for some affliction, receiving comfort of some sort, receiving some kind of blessing from the Lord, blessing which only He can give. And I would suggest to you that that represents that we receive blessings at His feet also, even today. We're not able to literally fall at His fleshly feet, but we are to humble ourselves before Him, subject ourselves before Him, honor Him, worship Him. And it can be said figuratively that we fall at His feet. Think with me this morning, if you will, about some instances of people who fell at the feet of Jesus or paid homage to God in some way by falling at the feet of another. Think about the unfortunate sufferers in Matthew 15, 29 through 31, our text today. Large crowds came to Jesus, bringing people who were lame, crippled, blind, mute, and many others, and they laid them down at His feet. They put them in a place lower than where the Lord was, in subjection to Him, realizing His deity and His God-blessedness, and appealing to Him for a need which they had. And the record said, Jesus healed them, every one of them, and they glorified the God of Israel. You know, in life we may suffer different things, like the things that are described in our text. Through no fault of our own, we may be lame, crippled, blind, mute, or have some other affliction. Through no fault of our own, it may simply be, as Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 11, due to time and chance. Through no fault of our own. But as we look in John 9 verses 1 through 3, as Jesus passed by and saw one of these who was afflicted through no fault of his own, he passed by. He saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he would be born blind? Jesus answered, it was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was so that the works of God might be displayed in him. It is an opportunity presented to us for God to work in our lives when trials and difficulties are characteristic of our lives, when physical afflictions may be characteristic of our lives. Maybe it's just so there is an opportunity for God to work something inside of us. It may have something to do with our being physically healed, or it may not. It may be a burden that we must bear for the rest of our lives. But God can take that affliction, whatever it is, and use it to make us better on the inside, to make us good on the inside, better than we could be without it. It could be a time for faith to be challenged and grow within us. As James writes in James chapter 1, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance or patience. That may be a reason why God allows afflictions to come upon us, to make us people that are patient and are willing to endure and do endure. Paul, in his own life, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, talked about a thorn in the flesh that he was buffeted with by Satan, and he appealed to God for that to be removed. But his reply to God was, his reply from God was, my grace is sufficient for you. For power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me, Paul said. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then am I strong. Through weaknesses and infirmities of life, the spirit inside man can be made stronger. Faith can be made stronger. Endurance can be made stronger. Characteristics that suit us and fit us for a home with God after this life is over. That's a good thing, don't you think? Don't you see that as a blessing from God that can help us? There was a woman who had enough faith to reach out to Jesus and then fall before him in worship and in honor in Mark 5. A woman who had a hemorrhage for 12 years. And she endured many things at the hands of physicians and had spent all that she had and was not helped at all, but rather grown worse, the record says. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and touched his cloak. For she thought, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. Immediately the flow of her blood was dried up and she felt in her body that she was healed of her affliction, verse 29 says. Immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my garments? And his disciples said unto him, you see the crowd pressing on you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. She fell at his feet. Suffering can really be the very avenue in a person's life. It can be the very way in a person's life that brings that person closer to God for spiritual healing. And I think we can see that represented by the case of this woman. Let's think about some more that fell at the feet. An afflicted father in Mark 5. One of the synagogue officials named Jairus came up and on seeing him, that is Christ, fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, saying, my little daughter is at the point of death. Please come and lay your hands on her so that she may get well and live. While he was speaking, there came from the house of the synagogue official saying, your daughter has died. Why trouble the teacher anymore? But Jesus, overhearing what was being spoken, said to the synagogue official, do not be afraid any longer, only believe. They came to the house of the synagogue official, and he saw a commotion and people loudly weeping and wailing. And entering in, he said to them, why make a commotion and weep? The child has not died, but is asleep. They began laughing at him, but putting them all out, he took along the child's father and mother and his own companions and entered the room where the child was. Taking the child by the hand, he said to her, Talitha kum, which translated means, little girl, I say to you, get up. Immediately the girl got up and began to walk, for she was 12 years old, and immediately they were completely astounded. An afflicted father falls at the feet of Jesus with a desperate appeal. Please help my daughter. And the Lord responds in a wonderful way by doing that very thing, even when death had already come. A father's devotion and faith in the face of extreme despair is what we see here. Jairus' humility to help his child is very impressive. He fell at his feet and implored him earnestly, the record says. What should that What should that say to me as a person who might want to let that be an example for me, that might want to emulate that example? Don't ever turn away from God. Always put your hope in God and in Christ. Make sure that your character is free from the love of money, being content with what you have. For He Himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. When man places his hope and his trust in God and in His Son, Jesus Christ, it is a worthy place for it to be, because He doesn't forsake man. He doesn't leave man stranded. The Hebrew writer goes on to say, so that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What will man do to me? That is the confidence that blesses the lives of spiritual people. That is a confidence characteristic of Christians that they have because they appeal to the Lord for that very thing. It is, of course, the constant desire of parents to love their children and to care for their children. Pray for your children to the Lord. Be like Jairus and the result of his discussion with the Lord. Do not be afraid any longer. Only believe. Immediately they were completely astounded. Be impressed by what the Lord can do for you in your life, beyond your wildest imagination, because faith in Him is always rewarded. There's another story of a sorrowing mother. Jesus got up and went away from there to the region of Tyre, and when He entered a house, He wanted no one to know of it, yet He could not escape notice. But after hearing of Him, a woman whose little daughter had an unclean spirit immediately came and fell at His feet. Now the woman was a Gentile of the Syrophoenician race, and she kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Here in this example, we see a mother's persistent faith in God and in Christ to do something that would bless her daughter. She kept asking Him to cast the demon out of her daughter. And He was saying to her, let the children be satisfied first, for it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. He figuratively referred to this woman as a dog. That was not a compliment. But she answered and said to Him, yes, Lord. I agree with you. You're right. Yes, Lord. But even the dogs under the table feed on the children's crumbs. What an amazing response of wisdom and careful thought and devotion and dedication and persistence to get what she wanted from our Lord. And the Lord was positively impressed with that, wasn't He? In Matthew 15, beginning in verse 22, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and began to cry out, saying, have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is cruelly demon-possessed. But He didn't answer her a word. His disciples came and implored Him, send her away, because she keeps shouting at us. But He answered and said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But she came and began to bow down before Him, saying, Lord, help me. This is Matthew's account of the very same incident that was revealed by Mark in Mark 7. And He answered and said, it is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. But she said, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You know, don't mothers in life make it one of their primary and chief aims with regard to their children to remove all the obstacles in the lives of their children so that they can have a blessed and happy life? Yet mothers do that, don't they? Even at great cost and sacrifice of their own comfort. That's what a mother does. again, we see the humility and the dependency when she approached the Lord on behalf of her daughter. A mother's love is something that is so very constant in this life. It never wavers. And that was true of the Lord's own mother in His own life. During the raising of her son, that she knew was a special son, even when she came with her other children to take the Lord home, thinking that He was mentally ill for what He was doing, even at the cross, the Lord's mother was there to watch her son be executed for crimes he did not commit. And later, when the disciples were gathered together, the Lord's mother was among them. She was a Christian. She was a follower of Jesus Christ. That is a mother's love and a mother's dedication. Serve your families, mothers, without wavering. And show them what it is to fall at the feet of Jesus. Proverbs 31 and verse 27 says this brief thing about a mother that I think is fitting. She looks well to the ways of her household. That's what she does. Constantly. Jesus will help you achieve the lofty goal of bringing your children up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, to bringing your children to the feet of Christ, to pay Him homage, and to appeal to Him for the blessings that He so richly gives. There was also a sinful woman, a woman in the city who was a sinner, as Luke describes this woman in Luke chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. And when she learned that He, that is Jesus, was reclining at the table, that is, eating a meal, in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster vial of perfume, and standing behind Him at His feet, weeping, she began to wet His feet with her tears. When you picture that, do you think maybe a tear or two? You know, how would it be described that a person washed another person's feet with their tears? That would have to be a lot of tears, wouldn't they? And she kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing His feet and anointing them with the perfume. Don't you see her great amount of faith in what she did? Don't you see shame for her sins coming out? In Luke 7:47, for this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven. For she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little. Then he said to her, your sins have been forgiven. And what happened on this occasion was a conversation between a Pharisee and Jesus about what was happening with the woman and about what was happening in the Pharisee's home. The Lord had a message for the Pharisee, and He had forgiveness for the woman. In the case of the woman, I think we can see that God blesses people who are smitten by their sins. But what about you? Have your sins crushed you? Have your sins been a burden to you that make life a drudgery and difficult for you to live and to be happy and at peace? Sins can be this way. But to this one I will look, God said through His prophet Isaiah. To him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. I think that would describe this woman who appealed to Jesus, who at his feet paid him homage. I think this would describe her because she humbled herself and was of a contrite spirit, indicated by her weeping. A life of peace followed her forgiveness. Your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. And that's exactly what she enjoyed from the Lord. A healed demoniac is one in Luke 8 who fell at the feet of Jesus. The people went out to see what happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. His very presence before the Lord showed that he was thankful. Like the one of the 10 lepers who were cleansed by the Lord, who returned to the Lord to indicate his thankfulness for what had happened in his situation. And certainly our thankfulness for the blessings that Jesus has provided for us would bring us to fall down at his feet. I hope so. After all, isn't the Lord the one who has the very words of eternal life? Isn't that where we find the source of our greatest blessing? At the feet of Jesus? In another instance, a truth seeker came to the Lord. Now as they were traveling along, he entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? And tell her to help me." But the Lord answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things. But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Seated at the Lord's feet, a seeker of truth, they're in the right place because the Lord has the words of eternal life. There is no better place to be than seated at the Lord's feet. Only his words can free us from the distractions of everyday life and put into our mind thoughts of more glorious things, things of more grandeur, excellent things, blessed things. Only his words set us free from the cares of this life, Matthew 6 and verse 33. Only his words can set us free from sin, Gospel of John, chapter 8. Freedom from sin. Free. If you're free from sin, you're free indeed, Jesus said. Free from anxiety. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. How can I find my way in this life? The words of God show me the way. It is the way to a clear conscience. There is a bereaved sister described in John 11 and verse 32. "Therefore, when Mary came where Jesus was, she saw him and fell at his feet, saying to him, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died.'" It is noteworthy for us to think in terms of what is happening here, and it has to do with something that's going to happen to every person, and that is physical death. But even in death, Jesus is a comfort to his people. Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die." Do you believe this? Knowledge of the future, the Lord's presence, and the Lord's power comforts the believer because the believer knows how the future is going to be if he falls at the feet of Jesus. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians and told them, we don't want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep or Christians who had already died, so that you will not grieve as the rest who have no hope. But if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The promises of God assure those who have fallen at His feet that a living hope remains for them to enjoy. The Gospel of John wrote that Jesus said, do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way I am going. God shows us the way. It is through Jesus Christ. And those who fall at the feet of Christ in humble submission to do His will are the ones that have that sure and confident hope that life with God will be theirs after this life is over. In Revelation chapter 1, John writes, when I saw him, I fell at his feet like a dead man. And he placed his right hand on me, saying, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead, and behold, I am alive evermore. And I have the keys of death and of Hades. This reverent worshiper fell at his feet because he is God and his attributes are pure. They are holy. They are mighty. And they are true. He is the one who has power over death. He is the one that grants life to others. Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 44 and verse 6, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last, and there is no God beside me. This is a God to whom Christians can look and know that the resurrection is a sure thing. Just as Paul wrote, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. Jesus overcame sin in his life. He overcame the temptation to sin. And because of that, we can overcome sin in our lives and death can have no power over us. Paul wrote and said, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through Jesus Christ. We can share in the victory that God has as well. Will we be a reverent worshiper of God as John was? Will we fall at his feet and honor him and honor his word? If we do, we can have those blessings, and the hope of the resurrection of life will certainly be ours. Why are we talking about things that happen at the feet of Jesus? Because it illustrates for us where we need to be. When we appeal to God to bless our lives, both now and in the hereafter, we must be figuratively, in a way of speaking, at the feet of Jesus in humility. Are you at the feet of Jesus today? If not, why are you not? That's where all blessings are found. Can we help you? Can we help you find the feet of Jesus to prostrate yourself in humble submission to His will, to obey His gospel and to be blessed by Him? If we can help you with that this morning, please come and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.